Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Are you an individual who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what services, new information, activities, or other types of services might be available to improve your life experience? Or are you an individual who has a family member or a friend who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what might be out there to help their life experience? We hope to create an opportunity for you to learn more about these services, resources, and whatever might be available to improve the blind experience. So let's get started. Today we're going to learn about an organization, Guiding Eyes for the Blind, that provides a tremendous mobility and companion resource for many people who are blind or have low vision. We're going to talk about the Guiding Eyes for the Blind program with Madeline Brugman. So right now, I just want to ask you, have you ever been out and about and seen a guide dog with its handler, maybe in a restaurant, at a movie, on an airplane, and noticed the bond between the dog and the handler? I always find that amazing. And I know I shouldn't, but there are times when I just want to reach out and pet the dog, but that's considered bad manners. But what is important is that this is a lot of work for the dog, the handler, and the trainers that make this resource possible, this resource that increases mobility and independence, and it is this working together that makes all of this possible. So today we want to welcome Madeline Brugman to our podcast. Madeline, welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We are so excited to talk with you. Well, tell us your story about how you got started and your journey to the Guiding Eyes for the Blind.
Well, when I was a kid, like many kids, I knew that I really wanted to work with animals, but I soon found out I did not want to be a veterinarian. So I had to kind of figure out where I wanted to go from there. I started studying psychology as an undergrad and got an internship with St. Francis Service Dogs. And from there, my interest in this field continued to grow. I ended up getting my master's in anthrozoology, which is the study of human-animal interactions, and then got a job with a small service dog organization. I enjoyed the work a lot, but was interested in the impact I could have working with a larger organization, and 2 years ago, that led me to Guiding Eyes for the Blind.
So in this journey, you actually did some, you took some coursework at a master's level on how people and animals interact, and that led you towards this particular career choice.
It did. Yes, it was fascinating. I highly recommend it.
That is interesting. I've never met anybody who's had that degree before. So can you tell us more about the Guiding Eyes for the Blind organization itself?
Sure. Guiding Eyes for the Blind is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides guide dogs to people with vision loss. We are really passionate about connecting exceptional dogs with individuals for greater independence. Starting in 1954, we've graduated about 10,000 guide dog teams, wow, and we place 155 new teams annually. Our headquarters are actually located in Yorktown Heights, New York, but we do place guide dogs across the country, and we rely on volunteers in at least 15 states, mostly along the East Coast, including the state of Virginia.
So in this organization, you look for the dogs and you match them up to the people. So can you tell us what it takes to select the dogs and get them ready to be guide dogs?
Absolutely. So at Guiding Eyes, we actually start even before the dogs are older. We start at the very beginning and we purpose breed Guiding Eyes dogs. That allows us to look really closely at genetics and behavior to prioritize the health and temperament that's needed for a dog to become a guide dog. So these puppies, from the very beginning. They're started on this guide dog path, and they actually receive special socialization right from the beginning of their life to get them acclimated to all different new environments and different sounds, different surfaces. Of course, all of this socialization is scaled to meet the developmental needs and abilities of the young puppies. So it starts out very small, and then as they get older, we adapt and adjust to continue to challenge them.
You might see these dogs out with the little service dog in training vest on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So about 8 weeks old, the puppies leave our canine development center and they're ready to move into the puppy raising program. At that point, they're actually living with volunteer puppy raisers, and you will start seeing them out and about in the community because they spend that next 14 to 18 months learning obedience cues and polite house manners and socialization in many different environments, all working with our volunteers to create a really great foundation for the guide dog training that comes later on.
In terms of training the dogs, then they go on to, is it an intense training program that they have to go through then to get the rest of their skill set?
It's an intense training program, but the dogs don't realize that. So the dogs just,
they,
you know,
think it's fun.
Exactly. They're enjoying themselves. They think it's, you know, kind of like going to college or camp where they're just doing some fun training exercises. But yes, once they've completed that puppy program around 18 or 20 months old, they will head back to New York. And there they'll either continue on a path as a potential breeder, or they will be moved into harness training. Once they are selected for harness training, dogs spend maybe 3 to 4 months. It does vary depending on the dog. Some dogs take a little longer. Some dogs speed through it. But they work their way through different phases of training, and then they are finally ready for placement.
One of the things that I've always thought about is, how do you train the handlers as well?
That's a really good question, and one a lot of people don't even think about. So once the dog has been matched with their handler, they go through a 2-week training program together at Guiding Eyes, or in some cases at the handler's house, where the person gets the chance to learn everything that the dog has already learned. And they get the chance to build a relationship and really learn how to work together. It's a real team experience because our dogs are not robots. So they're super well trained, but they still have individual quirks and individual personalities. And so the two really need to learn how to communicate together and work together so that they can be an effective team.
So it sounds like there's several checkpoints then in this process. Like you mentioned earlier that at some point you decide that a dog's ready and able to go on to the harness training. And then there's probably a matching process between dog and handler.
Absolutely. Yes, there are several checkpoints throughout each phase. So throughout the puppy program, there are some one-on-one evaluations we do. In training, there are several checkpoints and blindfold tests and things like that to make sure that the dog is ready to move on to that next phase.
And how do you determine if there's a good match, though, between the dog? Is it just the chemistry you see? Is it them working as a team?
So we collect a lot of information from both the dog and the applicant, and then we do our best to make a good match. So we're looking at factors such as the pace of the dog and the pace of the person, how much pull into the harness the dog gives, the personality of the person and the dog, the applicant's living environment, if they're living in a rural area or in the city, and also kind of their daily routine. So are they going to be spending a lot of time sitting in an office, or will the dog need to be pretty busy and have the stamina to kind of be walking all day long to different appointments or meetings or activities?
Well, I noticed on your fact sheet that you even have an opportunity for a blind athlete to get a dog that is trained to run with them.
We do. Guiding Eyes is actually the only school that currently offers this experience of a running guide dog. And it provides so much more independence for those who are runners. The challenge is that you have to find a dog who enjoys running and also can think and focus quickly enough that when they are moving at that quicker pace, they still need to be able to make decisions fast enough to keep the person safe. And so some dogs have one part of that, but not the other. And we have to find which dog can do the whole job.
So if somebody comes and that's something they're interested in, then it may take a while to find the dog that's a good match for that individual.
Yes, that could be an additional thing that they just need to make sure we check that box, which might limit the pool of dogs to choose from. But luckily, we constantly have new dogs coming in, and so we can find a good match.
That's a really interesting service that you all are providing there, and I'm sure there's a lot of athletes that are pretty excited about that. Who is eligible to receive the guide dogs?
So in order to be eligible for a guide dog with our program, you must be legally blind and at least 16 years old, and you have to live in the United States or Canada. We also ask that you have completed orientation and mobility training, and then the added kind of responsibilities of a guide dog need to be considered to make sure that that's something you're actually interested in, because the dogs do require feeding and watering, grooming time, play time, veterinary care, a lot of additional tasks that you might not currently have to deal with. So some people don't really actually want that additional
task. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I have been around a number of handlers and guide dogs in my career, both work-wise and otherwise. And you can see that when they had the team going, that they're more confident in their environment and moving around, and they engage in more activities from what I can hear in talking with them. But they do talk about that responsibility that you have to know how to take them outside. You can't keep it in your office all day under your feet. I mean, there's just things you have to consider when you make that choice, but they sure seem to like them to get out and keep moving or be independent in moving around and confident in their moving around. So I guess that is a trade-off that these people, I guess you spend time talking to them about that before they sign up for the guide dog?
Absolutely. We try to kind of explain what that experience is like and make sure that they've thought it through and have weighed the pros and cons.
But can you tell us, what does it cost for the individual who's receiving the guide dog?
So there is absolutely no charge to the individual when they receive the dog. Guiding Eyes covers all of the cost of training and caring for the dog up to that point, and they do also provide a stipend for some care after the dog is placed with you, but you will have to cover additional purchases for vet care, food, those kinds of things.
So part of the trade-off is going to be you're going to get the dog training and your own training to be able to handle the dog, and sort of the starter kit, if you will, to have the dog, but you need to be prepared to take on the vet bills and the other pieces that go with dog ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what does it cost to train one of the guide dogs?
It costs up to $50,000 annually to train and care for one guide dog.
Wow, that's quite an investment.
It is. It's huge. And Guiding Eyes depends on donations and organizations sponsoring a lot of these costs.
What happens to the dogs that don't do well and don't end up being eligible to take on a handler?
So there are definitely dogs who just decide the guide dog path is not the right fit for them.
Uh-huh.
And we are looking out for that throughout the process to make sure that if a dog doesn't enjoy the work, they don't have to do it. So if a dog is not going to be a guide dog, we will first see if they want to do another career option. A lot of our dogs really enjoy detection work or perhaps working as a service dog for a different organization that has just different requirements for what their job will look like. So a lot of our dogs end up in those roles. We do have some dogs that also just end up released as a pet, and they have a very special role in that way too, of course.
It's really interesting to see that that they have career choices.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. It's really like they have to choose their path. We don't make any dog become a guide dog that doesn't want it. So all we do is provide the training and the opportunity, and then we listen to what the dog wants to do.
Now, your title is intriguing to me. You are the regional puppy instructor for Virginia, including Richmond and Northern Virginia, and I think some other parts of the South. And what exactly does that mean? Do you train dogs?
That's a great question. So regional puppy instructors really manage both the volunteers and the puppies in training in their regions. So you're exactly right that I manage the Richmond region, which includes Charlottesville, Richmond, and surrounding areas, as well as the Nova South region, which includes roughly Fredericksburg to Manassas. We do have other regions all across the East Coast and in a few other states, plus a remote opportunity. But my job overall is to train the puppy raisers to then train the puppies. So we rely on a relationship-based curriculum, which utilizes a lot of positive reinforcement, including treats, play, and praise. And our puppy volunteers don't need to have any prior dog experience. So they actually come to classes with me, and they all learn together. The puppies and the raisers learn together. We have a lot of resources online, and we also meet up for one-on-one sessions and outings. So the volunteers and puppies receive a lot of support.
So how long does it take to train a puppy raiser?
That's a really good question. It doesn't take long at all. We say you're always going to be learning.
That's probably true.
I'm still learning. But the initial process, we just have you go through a little orientation, review some online materials, and then meet up for a hands-on training session. And that just gives you a little bit of baseline knowledge. And from there, you just learn as you go.
And I guess there are certain things that they are asked to train the dogs to do?
Yes. So we focus a lot on house manners because that's really important that the dogs are not moving items in their handler's home. That can really, I'm sure you could speak to how disconcerting that would be.
Oh, yeah.
But we focus a lot on that. We focus on basic obedience, and we focus on good behaviors out and about in the community.
Okay. And you also have puppy sitters.
Absolutely. So we have a whole team of volunteers, really, in our regions. Our main ones are the raisers and the sitters. Sitters are more of a short-term care provider. The raisers do more of the raising and training and socializing. And then we also have volunteers that help with class. They help out with social media. They help with events. So we have a really nice community, and it's full of great people.
Now, I think you have an ask for us today.
I do. We are really urgently looking for more volunteers in the Richmond and Charlottesville area who are willing to help with our guide dog puppies in training. We currently have about 25 puppies in the area, but we are looking to bring in more volunteers so we can increase that number. Any additional puppy that we have a raiser for is the chance for one more guide dog to provide more independence for a person with vision loss. So we would love to be able to have more puppies that can be raised and grow up to be guide dogs.
So what is the time commitment of a puppy raiser in terms of the training and how long they keep the dogs?
There is honestly a lot of variation. So people will choose to just raise the younger puppies. So they might take a puppy around 8 weeks old and raise them until they're, you know, maybe four to 6 months. So that could be a 2 month commitment or a 3 or 4 month commitment. We also have raisers that only want to work with the older puppies. So they might take a 4 or 6 month puppy and keep them until they are maybe 18 months old. We have people who share the responsibility. They will co-raise and swap the puppy back and forth. Really, if you are interested in getting involved, just reach out to us and we will work with you to figure out what timeline you can handle and what commitment you can make.
And are you also looking for the puppy sitters?
We are. We're looking for puppy sitters, which is just a short-term caring for different puppies like you would dog sit for another dog in the community. And we're also looking for just anyone that's interested in what we're doing. Even if you can't have a dog in your home, we'll find a way for you to work with our organization or even just spread the word to other people you know.
So if somebody is really interested in supporting the cause, there's other things than raising the puppies or doing a puppy sitter that where they can add value as a volunteer.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you think we should know as somebody might be considering either volunteering or coming and asking about becoming a guide dog handler?
I think the biggest thing is that there is no one size fits all. We're not looking for only one type of person to volunteer, and we're not looking for one type of person to be matched with a guide dog. Kind of the nice part of the program is that our dogs have all sorts of individual personalities as well. And so we need people, all different kinds of people with different jobs and different work environments. You can all raise or sit for us, and we can find a dog that's a good fit for you.
If there's already a pet in the home, does that work with a guide dog?
Yes, that's fine. For our volunteers, it's really good practice for our guide dogs to grow up around other animals and practice being calm. And once they're fully trained, they are absolutely fine to live in the home with another animal.
Okay. Have you seen any challenges that people need to be aware about or be aware of, perhaps, if they are out and about?
There definitely still are some public access challenges. There is more awareness and more education. So a lot of things have improved, but you might still run into barriers such as people thinking that you're just trying to bring a pet dog in and trying to tell you you can't bring your guide dog in, or rideshare access can be difficult where you might order a rideshare to come and then they see you have a dog and they aren't willing to pick you up. So those are definite challenges that still exist and people are still working to address them.
And that's another one of those situations where you need to have some advocacy skills to be able to speak up for yourself and your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline, can you go over again, what are the requirements for an individual to receive the guide dog?
So in order to be eligible for a guide dog, you need to be legally blind, 16 years old, live in the U.S. or Canada, and have completed orientation and mobility training. You also need to think about if you are comfortable with the extra challenges that come with having a guide dog, which includes the responsibilities of caring for a guide dog, feeding, watering, grooming, playtime, veterinary care. It also comes with some extra interactions with the public. People are often pretty excited to see a guide dog.
Yes, they are.
There are more and more people that have more awareness of a guide dog. So you will get a little bit more people that understand they shouldn't come up and kind of distract your dog. But that is still something that
you have to be in a position to say that he's working or she's working.
Exactly. And you have to advocate for yourself and for your dog.
And I think the orientation and mobility skills training, you want them to be fairly versed already in that skill set?
Absolutely, because our dogs need instruction in order to guide you. So you can't just tell the dog where you want to go and have them lead you. You have to be able to orient yourself with traffic and things going on around you to tell the dog when to make a left turn or a right turn, which street crossing you want to make, and then the guide dog will do their job after that.
So you need to be aware enough to be able to be the leader of the team.
Absolutely.
If people want to contact you for any reason, whether there's more information to ask to how to get the dogs or to be a volunteer, what's the best way for them to contact you?
You can email richmondregion@guidingeyes.net, or you could call 914-598-6071, and we will get back to you with any information.
You want to repeat those?
Absolutely. That's richmondregion@guidingeyes.net, or you can call 914-598-6071.
Madeline, we really appreciate you coming in and sharing the information. This is an important resource and a good choice for a lot of people. It may not be the best choice for everyone, but it does help those that make the choice and stick with it. So thank you for coming in and taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.